Well, good morning on a Monday. We are standing outdoors to kick off the show in the dark.
Yes, we are.
In the cold.
In the dark, in the cold. It's fall has arrived.
I know, man.
It's going to get much colder when we call it actually fall, but it's an absolutely perfect time of year, and it seems like the cooler weather has arrived a little bit early. We have yet to play any real college football or NFL football, and it's like when I left my house this morning, it was 51 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice.
We're kind of like Paul Revere in that way. Like, is the morning crew, we get the sense of when fall is coming and football is coming.
There's somebody chasing us.
Yes, the fall. It's right on our heels. Hold on. I want to back up. You said we didn't have real football. You don't consider what happened in Dublin real football?
It was an exciting game. It was fun, but
But it leaves you wanting more.
Yeah.
Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. We are out live today. Oakland Hills Country Club. It's the 17th annual Illich Companies Foundation Celebrity Golf Classic. We will have Tigers and Red Wing guests in the last hour of the show today as we broadcast live.
Yeah, it's good. There are going to be a bunch of people showing up. It'll be nice, even for those that we don't get live on air, to be able to say hi to some other people around here and hopefully just have a few brief conversations during the breaks.
Yeah, as we get this thing underway here. John, Tigers, talk about them, get to the Lions, talk about Bryce Underwood. Going to go rapid fire, just some headlines to kick off the show today. And let's start with the Tigers taking 2-3 against the Royals. They're leading the division double digits.
Yep. No. So are you now breaking out the disco? Where's the glasses?
It's funny. I travel with some of it. I might have it.
He travels with it.
Yeah, you never know when you need an impromptu disco. Yeah.
Disco
he's
ball.
Got the shirt, the disco ball, the glasses. He does have the shirt.
I'm not putting it on today.
Oh, my goodness.
One thing at a time.
Are you serious? How long? Why do you travel with that?
I don't intentionally travel with it.
Did it go to Vegas with us?
I think it might have. Yeah, it would have been in this bag.
Stop.
You got to be kidding me. I can't believe you didn't wear that in Vegas. It would have been the perfect outfit to go with the Cabana top. I know that you took the scissors and cut the top off, the onesie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it would have been nice to have seen that maybe as we were strolling down Fremont Street.
I'm always ready for an impromptu disco. Today is not that day. Let's just focus on the fact that they are double digits up in this division, a division that, hey, they got this thing right where they want it, John. They're running away with it.
They are, and as they should. It's a bad division other than the Tigers right now. And the Tigers, best record in American League. So they are, I don't want to say securely in that one spot because Toronto is, a game and a half, I believe, behind them. But they are creating distance between them and number three, let's put it that way. That's probably more the number everybody's looking at versus now you're, declaring the division and burying the Guardians. Are you ready to bury Kansas City as well?
I would love to. We should make some time to do that today. A formal ceremony and bury the Royals.
Maybe we should do that next Monday because they're out in Sacramento. Then they hit Kansas City again, right, on the way back?
Yeah.
So maybe after that three-game stretch there.
I mean, they may be mathematically out at that point.
They
we're counting
be.
Down the days. Yeah. 30 games to go for the Tigers.
So do you have the magic number?
I don't.
No?
That was a different co-host you had, John.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's the seat that you were sitting in, and then you came back
it's
and you
low
noticed
20s.
That.
It's low 20s. It's like 22, 23, Twitch, something like that.
Did you see Stoney posted on Twitter a little video how he was upset. He was on the beach on the East Coast.
He was Lions super fan.
Yeah.
Have you seen
he's
this? Let's pull this up for Heather. Go ahead.
It's Beach Stoney, and he's got the bucket Lions hat on.
Okay.
And he is.
Is it an awkward selfie from like a weird angle?
You know it.
But I believe he has a shirt on.
So she's watching it, but go ahead, John.
Yeah, and
so he's complaining because he couldn't stream it.
Yeah, he is fully clothed. Yes, it's he's got the blue blockers on, the wraparound sunglasses, and the bucket hat, and he's complaining that he's outside of the metro area and can't get the Odyssey app because, I guess, preseason game.
There are blackout rules for NFL, and he can't stream it. Yeah, he's mad because even in the preseason he can't stream it. So.
So, that's
Peak Stoney.
Yeah.
It's a good segue into the Lions,
John. I had a shirt on.
Yeah. And the Lions, me too. I don't know if there's really anything to take away from the Houston game
other than
Hendon Hooker continues to not take advantage of any opportunities he gets.
He can't be on the roster.
No. And so the question is, after that, are you good with Kyle Allen?
I am.
As number two. And I am to start the season, sure. And then let's see if there is anyone else. I mean, you say you're okay with it, but wouldn't you rather them go get Carson Wentz?
Of course. The problem is he's a Minnesota Viking.
Oh, did he sign over there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see
so,
that.
No, it's That's, okay, yeah, dude. Yeah, whirlwind yesterday. Yeah. So Carson Wentz is now the Vikings' backup. They traded Sam Howell to the Eagles, who are set, I believe, to carry three because they like McKee. I was a little surprised by that. But, yes, Wentz is off the market.
Okay. So then it's basically looking at, I mean, if the Eagles release Tanner McKee.
Sure, I know you're a big fan.
I would love to get him here. I think he would be a much better prospect.
But he'd have a higher upside.
How many teams are going to carry three, let alone, you know, there's everybody's going to have
with
two.
The four?
Cleveland's going to have four?
Okay.
That's bizarre.
Real quick, Shedeur Sanders. Guy was sacked five times and 15 dropbacks.
Yeah. I think there are still – I think there's more upside for him than there is Hendon Hooker.
Sure, just in the sense that he's just starting,
right,
scratching the surface. But, John, that was, to me, what we saw a lot of at Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Running yourself into sacks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry, man. Like, that's why he wasn't a first-round quarterback, a day-two quarterback. There are issues there.
Well, and so when I say this, it has nothing to do with – all of his interviews have been very good. It's not that he – is out there, you know, pounding the ground and saying, I should be the starting quarterback. He's not done any of that. He's been very respectful. But when he is out there, ball in hand, he's just too confident in his – and he thinks his ability to be able to run away from defenders. He couldn't do it at the college level. And correct me if I'm wrong, everyone at the NFL level, even guys that he was playing against, they put him in the back end of the last preseason game, and even those guys who are going to be either practice squad guys or they're going to be attorneys, accountants, teachers, gym teachers, he couldn't run away from them.
Correct. People go, well, he's playing with the third-string offense, and he's facing the third-string defense.
Yes, exactly.
So it goes both ways. He has this weird cult-like following, and it's like, the guy didn't win a Heisman Trophy. He didn't win a national title. He's Deion's kid. And he was a good college quarterback, but not a great college quarterback. And it's like these people that want to rush to the ends of the earth to defend the guy. He was a day three pick. He'll be the third quarterback or maybe the fourth quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
And I simply think that is, which was bizarre to draft two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But they don't want to completely just throw away a draft pick. So they're going to keep Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur, or
do they trade Kenny Pickett?
Oh, no, I think Kenny Pickett's their number two.
Okay, well, so they're carrying four because Flacco's the starter.
So I think it's more a sign of they would like to try and trade three or four and see if they can recoup a pick.
Yeah.
A day three, you know, seventh-round pick is about all you're going to get for a team that maybe thought he was better than his draft status. Maybe there's a quarterback coach that says, you know, and I'm sure there is, I can work with that. I can make that a Pro Bowl player.
Young quarterbacks with upside, Bryce Underwood. Expected to be announced the starter later today by Sharon Moore in Ann Arbor. John, this is not a surprise.
No, it's not a surprise to anyone. And when you look at, you know, what all of the hype coming in, and it's not just about the hype. It's about a kid with a lot of talent. Now, it's going to be what will be determined or seen is – how much has he developed from a high school senior to a freshman in college who just literally turned 18 last week? So physically, he's there. Now, mentally, where is he going to be when they face off against New Mexico? Where is he going to be when they travel to Norman, Oklahoma? That's the better question, but we'll find out more about him at 7:30 as we all sit there and wait for the big-time matchup for primetime TV between Michigan and New Mexico.
I hope you guys can sense the sarcasm dripping. John is not a fan of starting the season in prime time against a powerhouse known as New Mexico. But I know Michigan fans will be excited to see what he does. And he's just the fourth true freshman to start game one for Michigan. He joins Rick Leach, Chad Henne, and Tate Forcier. May the Forcier be with you.
You're such a dork. Somehow I knew that was coming.
You knew it was coming. And it was funny because at that time it was out of necessity. It's like we're not doing the Stephen Threet thing again. Nick Sheridan's not walking through that door.
Right.
Bryce Underwood comes in here and he comes in highly decorated, right? Number one overall prospect recruit.
Yeah.
But you're right. The real test is going to be the road games early. It's going to be Norman. It's going to be Nebraska. It's going to be out in California. Yeah, California with USC.
LA.
Yeah. So, but you get your first taste. This was always the way to go if you're Michigan. Not only was the guy getting a lot of money to come here, you need to start that process. You need to figure out and let him figure out what the college game's like.
Yeah, and I think the better question for Sharone after he, you know, initially today makes it official is going to be, you know, what if he struggles? Like, how much are you going to allow him to struggle?
Right.
And who is number two? Who is like, what's the hierarchy?
Yeah.
Who's next in the game?
Because they brought in Mikey Keene from Fresno. Who else is on the roster at quarterback?
Well, Garcia.
Yes, other transfer,
yeah,
right?
Who's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns. and Jaden Davis.
Oh, yeah. Now, I saw a video of Jaden Davis throwing motion, and I needed a sundial to clock from when he got the ball out of his hand.
He's continuing to work on his throwing motion and release. It's a little bit long. So, yeah, he's got a strong arm, and he is athletic. He's got another year of college experience. He didn't have any playing experience, but he does have a year of, you know, watching and learning. And so I don't know who's going to be 2, 3, or 4, and I don't know how much they're going to sit there and watch. Hopefully it's all, you know, roses, and Bryce Underwood goes out there, plays well. I think we should all anticipate that there's going to be some bumps along the way.
Week one, though. They're 37-point favorites.
Right, yeah. So, but again, you get into the Big Ten season.
Yeah.
How much is Sharone going to allow him to struggle if that's the case?
Right.
Don't know, but I think it's questions that need to be asked.
And I think the other thing that you've talked about this offseason is it's not just the quarterback position they needed to upgrade. It was pass catchers and scheme, and this is Chip Lindsey's first year as the OC. Yep. McCulley stepped up as this big number one receiver. Their offense, their passing game specifically needed a total revamp, and Bryce Underwood will be the quarterback. 248-539-9797. We're going to get a little week zero coming up next. 635. I'm looking at you guys. I need something from the audience. It's 97.1.
Hey, I've been telling about you just for a couple of weeks. Tomorrow is the day for FanDuel Futures Day. It's a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on all your football season predictions. So here's a couple. We talked about the MVP race, and I want to give you maybe a good value. It's Jaden Daniels in his second year. If Washington were possibly to win that division, $10 is going to get you just over 100. Maybe you want to pick your Super Bowl champion. You want to do it here in August. I'll give you two. The Bills out of the AFC plus 700. The Lions out of the NFC plus 1100. Jim made that bet last Friday. You could also parlay division winner dark horses. Now, they're not all dark horses, but if you want to take a look at the NFC, you go Washington, Detroit, Tampa, Arizona. 10 will get you just pennies shy of $700. Mark your calendars. Set your alarm. Tomorrow's the day for your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your future bets now, because FanDuel Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good weekend for the Tigers. Took 2 of 3 against the Royals. They sit 10.5 games up in the American League Central. Good morning. 6:35. I need your help with something. I want you guys to participate in the conversation at 6:35. It would mean a lot to me personally, John.
Oh, I'm sure it would.
Okay.
I have no doubt it would.
Week zero. You've already scoffed at last weekend in college football. What did you really think?
Good game. It's a good matchup, and it's just one of those games where you're like, okay, this is fun, and all right, fine, being in Ireland, everybody likes the beer cup snakes, you know, between the two fan bases, and those were remarkable, and but it just – so that was fun, but you mentioned it left you wanting more, and for those local fans that wanted to see UNLV for obscure reasons, but
Alex
Orji fumbled at the goal line, you couldn't even watch that one. After that, there was just kind of a lot of nothing. There wasn't any excitement. There
what
was
do you
no
mean?
Great matchups.
Hawaii, game-winning kick, John.
And I watched that one, too, and because I wanted to see if Frank Reich, okay, I'm, I'm hoping because he's put into an unusual situation. I like Frank.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Andrew Luck is a guy that it's hard to hate. But, I mean, losing, going all the way out there, losing and having to wear the lay around their neck the whole game. Like, that's the one thing we were sitting in bed and Lisa was like, wow, those are, you know, big lays. And they literally wore them all game. I don't know that I would have been able to do that, but that's my takeaway. That's what I was concerned about other than the game.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
Look, you put a top 25 game to kick off the season, and you think, well, this is going to be pretty good. That game started off with this weird fog from the fireworks and then the rain and the turnovers or four turnovers in the first half.
And a fair catch on the one-yard line?
Guy botches it, and then you're thinking, well, Iowa State's going to score, right? No, they do – toss off the guy's chest.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Fumble.
I was talking about the Stanford.
Oh. I'm talking the Ireland game. The point was it was sloppy football. Maybe we're always going to get that week one, but I think it gets masked in a weekend where we have more games and better games, and it just kind of gets – it was underwhelming is what it was.
It was.
But it's week zero, and now we kick off week one.
And we talked about it on Friday. If they want to monetize this, because I think there's a lot of people that started watching – the game at Dublin and turned it off kind of halfway through, or they joined it late. After that, I don't know that anybody was really glued to their TV watching college football. So there's not a whole lot of, I mean, like, just in terms of ratings.
Yeah.
Not there. Move some of those good games, those matchups into week zero. And if you want to get rid of the moniker week zero, then just start it early and say week one. And then all the way through the college football season, you've got 13, 14 weeks, whatever it is, because of the bye weeks.
So there's no college game day for week zero, which, again, is your telltale giveaway that this isn't
– it's not that important.
It's not that important. And Kelsey at one point goes, is this real?
Yeah.
Because they're introducing, like, they're in Dublin. And she's like, is this actually – yes, we're back.
Yeah.
If people casually aren't quite sure if it's back, you should be kicking off the season on a college campus. That game should have been in the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas, or it should have been in Ames, Iowa. And – next week we get the full fireworks.
Yeah, and so let's look forward to next week because there are some, finally, some really nice matches. One versus two. We're going to get
the Battle of Death Valley.
Yeah,
Notre Dame and Miami.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The Catholics, the old Catholics versus convicts moniker will come up.
So I saw a clip of Lou Holtz this weekend that came up.
Yeah,
talking about that, and he goes, "I didn't like the whole Catholics versus convicts moniker. Our whole team wasn't Catholic."
You gotta love the old guy.
The rivalries, baby.
Right, yes.
It gets renewed. All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So the suspect in the fatal shooting at Henry Ford Hospital is now in custody. You probably heard about this.
Yeah.
It happened on Friday morning. Police say the suspect, Mario Green, walked into the Detroit hospital and shot and killed his ex-wife, who was an employee there in the basement of the facility. He apparently showed up, claiming he was dropping some of her belongings off to her, and then told her, you know, he was told to leave, and that's when they got into this verbal argument. He then pulled out a gun and shot at her multiple times. The hospital, because of all of that, was placed in lockdown. There was a lot going on there as well. Police spent all day Friday looking for Green, which they ultimately found.
Yeah.
Their story sounds like she had tried to protect herself from him. She had filed for a personal protection order, originally got denied. She filed again, and it was granted, but it was never served to him.
Oh.
There was stuff going on. He was stalking her, making threats to her, other employees at the hospital.
Even if it had been served to him, it wouldn't be the first time we saw somebody walk through a piece of paper.
Not at all. I mean, not at all. Such a sad story. Hey, a Michigan couple who spent a month behind bars in Mexico is now suing the Cancun hotel that sent them to jail over a timeshare dispute earlier this year.
Remember you had this story.
So this couple from Spring Arbor filed a lawsuit in Florida last week against the Palace Resorts and also its chief executive officer. And the couple is suing for defamation, malicious prosecution, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. They're seeking some unspecified amount of money. They also want a jury trial. And if you don't remember what happened, they basically got off the plane and were sent right to jail. They spent 32 days in a Mexican maximum security prison as soon as they landed to go on vacation. And it all stemmed from the Palace Resorts charging them $116,000 on their credit card for this timeshare membership, which they disputed. And then there was a whole bunch of other disputed demands by this resort. And they said, no, we're not doing any of this. They were arrested, and they were obviously separated. They weren't together. And they just said the conditions in this jail were horrendous.
I would imagine.
And now they want to be compensated. And I bet they will be, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Another sad story, the body of Jacob Angelis, a 22-year-old Rockwood man who went missing nearly a week ago, has been found. He went missing after the Renaissance Festival. He went with his mom. Hadn't been seen after leaving. He didn't show up for work, so of course people were very concerned. Police did release a statement saying that this is still an active investigation. We cannot comment further on the circumstances regarding the discovery of his body, but they do say foul play does not appear to be involved at this time. He was discovered, his vehicle was seen in this remote area, and that's when police started to investigate. Yeah. He was found in Crawford County. Let's get to something a little bit lighter.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
do you guys remember that serial butt sniffer?
Yes. How could we not remember? Well, and the picture of him behind the lady.
Yes. Well, his punishment when he was caught last time obviously wasn't enough because he was caught yet again. He made headlines in Burbank. He was caught up to his usual antics, sniffing the behind.
You know his favorite movie?
What?
Scent of a Woman.
Robert Porsche, the Detroit Lions all-time sack leader, is going to enter the Pride of the Lions. That's
awesome.
That's
cool.
Really,
it's going to happen during halftime of the Lions' home opener on September 14th. He was surprised by the news. He was there at a joint practice when he was surprised by this news. Rod Wood said that they are thrilled to cement Robert Porsche's legacy as one of the all-time Lions greats. And as for himself, Porsche says that it's a great honor. And it is.
It is. It is. Congratulations to him. He's a great guy. He was one of the best players that I ever played against. And this is my rookie season. I played against him in the Silverdome back when they had the short turf. And I'm telling you what, that dude coming off the edge with speed and power, he was tough to block. So I'm really excited for him. It's a tremendous honor. And like I said, I've gotten to know him since then as not just a opponent, but a dude, and he's a great dude.
Yeah, there was a moment where he was talking to Aiden Hutchinson one-on-one after practice, and you go, yeah, I could see a little bit of that, where you see a little bit of yourself in him.
Oh, you mean you wanted him to come back and be the edge opposite Aiden?
If Za'Darius isn't doing anything.
Exactly. I bet he could.
He does look like he could.
Yeah.
All right, that's Heather with the news. Coming up next, it'd mean a lot to me if you guys would call in about this next topic. It's 97.1. Brightside Dental. Talk about getting your teeth taken care of. Brightside Dental's the place to do it. For a straighter smile without metal braces, you can get it done. Invisalign at Brightside Dental has never been more affordable than right now. Free Invisalign consultation, no pressure, just answers. And if it's right for you, you can start your Invisalign journey for as low as $59 a month. Straight teeth, straightforward pricing. That's something to smile about. Mention Jim Costa and the Morning Show. Lock in that price. That's Brightside Dental, 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Kansas City took Sunday's game. Detroit took 2-3 over the weekend. That's Dan Dickerson on the call. Good morning. We're broadcasting live, 17th annual Illich Companies Foundation, their Celebrity Golf Classic. And Heather, how many layers are you wearing right now?
I'm wearing a lot. I'm wearing like a long sleeve golf shirt, and then I'm wearing a long sleeve zip up, and then I'm wearing, I wouldn't say it's a winter coat, but it's
no.
It's a fall jacket.
Got to get some fleece on the inside
it's
there.
Some
yeah,
fleece. And it's long. That's why I brought it, because I thought maybe my legs would get cold too, because I'm in golf pants, so it's like a long jacket. Uh-huh.
She's been telling us how cold it is.
Well, I didn't want to.
It's chilly.
Feel okay. I feel
okay. Good.
Besides my hands, I wish I would have brought like a small pair of
gloves. You need
gloves
too? Hat, gloves, get snow boots in the car?
I feel
content.
Do you
want to keep giving her a hard time?
Yes.
It is a little chilly out here.
I'm wearing shorts. Let's go.
Good for you.
Hey, tough guy.
Yeah.
That's right. Super tough.
I don't like being cold. So
and it'll be a little better when the sun comes out,
for
too.
For sure.
But we were talking about how nice it's going to be the next couple weeks. It's like it feels like football with week one right around the corner.
Oh, it's you look at the 10-day forecast, and it's 71, 72. There's a couple 68s in there. And the nighttime temperatures, I think there's a couple mornings we're going to wake up, and it might even be in the 40s.
Some frost.
Yeah,
layer of frost
on
the windshield.
But I don't know. Do you have the farmers? It's been all over the news. The Farmer's Almanac. Do you have that in your news?
No. What?
They are saying that it's going to be an old school winter, and that we should be prepared for snow as early as even late September.
Mm.
So it's going to
are
be
the leaves even going to turn by then?
No, probably. Well, no, probably not. So
and we're already going to have snow.
Just telling you what I read in the Farmer's Almanac. It's been all over the news.
And notoriously, those are 100% accurate.
Yeah, they're always right.
Okay. You guys are smartasses this morning.
Well, I always
how this
am,
is going to go. Yeah.
I've corrupted her, apparently.
Yeah, so just be prepared. It's going to be supposed to be an old school winner.
With football in the brain, we're going to spend some time coming up 7 o'clock hour on the Lions, what we saw, what we are awaiting, if there's any drama at all. And John, you saw something about a doubt. Apparently the world is doubting the Detroit Lions. We'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour as well. What I would like from people is for them to participate in this Tigers conversation. I would like apologies. I would like to open up the apology hotline at 248-539-9797. There was a lot of slander on my name with the Costa curse, and you jinxed this team, and they're not going to win the Central. It is 10.5 games right now after they took 2 or 3 against the Royals and after they've won 5 straight series. Up 10.5 with 30 to go. Come one, come all. 248-539-9797. It starts with, Jim, I'm sorry. There is no curse. You were right.
It's also the same number if you want to use it to call in and tell Jim how much of a tool he is. We will take those calls as well.
Are you not with me? You think this division is still up for grabs?
No, but nobody needs to call in and apologize to you. It was...
Oh, this guy got kind of nasty there for a while, John.
Because it was way too early. Now, you may be proven right. It's like putting down a futures bet. You might be proven right that the Lions fans, Detroit sports fans, told you to go put your money on the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
But we won't know for quite some time. And you might ultimately be proven right. It was a bold, hot take.
Not really
that bold.
That's why I was so surprised that people got all up in arms about it.
It was so early. That's the reason.
Because I had
there's
foresight,
still
John.
So much baseball to be played. And there's still a lot of baseball to be played. Now, it's more important right now to keep an eye on where they are in the top 2 seeds and making sure that they create that distance between them and Houston or them and the Boston Red Sox. Really? That's you know, I mean, it's hard to believe that they're in that conversation as well. But with 78 wins right now, they have the best record. I always have to make sure I couch that and say not the best team. They're the best record in the American League. And Toronto comes in with 76 wins. They got a game and a half on them. And then after that, it's a lot of cast of characters. Like I mentioned, it's the Boston Red Sox. It's the Houston Astros, who they just dispatched of. It's Seattle, who is still battling for that West division, even though they went out there and spent a lot of capital at the trade deadline. So... I mean, if people feel that they were harsh to you, I welcome those calls.
Expect us to be flooded with apology calls, John.
I would be shocked if we get one.
A single one. I just bring it up like this. We're going to be right. We're going to be wrong.
Sure.
There's no curse. There's no curse. This team was good enough in July to declare the division over, and they're good enough as we get into September to declare the division over. And we can move the conversation forward to battling for a bye and setting up the playoff rotation. This team's going to be in the playoffs. And John, I don't know how you'd set up the rotation today because it's clearly Scooble 1. And then where's Flaherty? Do you trust Mize? Is Morton suddenly one of the three reliever or three starters to kick off a series?
I mean, Morton has pitched really well since April, but especially since he's been a Detroit Tiger. So, it was just that one game that I was at, and you know he pitched well through the first 3 innings, and then got pounded in the 4th. So I think this is going to come down to AJ Hinch, and looking at the matchups, looking at, you know, whoever it is that they play in their first opportunity in the postseason, saying who gives us the best chance to win. Mm-hmm. So I think we don't think it'll be Melton.
No.
And he'll be one of those guys that they bring in either in long relief or even in that middle relief to get two, maybe three innings out of him. That's kind of more long relief. But who is going to be 2 and 3? I think that is a legit question. I think Casey Mize will probably be 2. And then it's more important, okay, is it Morton or is it Flaherty at 3? And who do you want to then move to the bullpen along with Melton to get you longer relief?
It's just so hard to trust Jack Flaherty right now. And Jack's great. He's the number 2 on this team because he gets big-time swing and miss. And when he's cruising, like, he shut down the first 8 batters. And you're going, wow, here we go. This guy's tuning it up for the postseason, right? We thought that after his last start. But then, John, the wheels, when they fall off, they fall off. They gave up 6 runs in the 4th inning, and suddenly you're playing catch-up. And then they kept him out. He got hit hard a little in the 5th, didn't get him burned, and then in the 6th gave up even more carnage.
And I know that they wanted to get more innings out of him.
Right.
But maybe he needs to be handled a lot like Paddock was. Paddock was – he was good enough. I'm not going to sit here and say he was great, but he was good enough through 62 pitches, and then he was yanked.
Yeah.
Before things got like they did for Jack Flaherty. Now, I wouldn't think that you would take a picture out because he had mowed him down through the first almost 3 innings. And then when things went bad, they went really bad.
I think
and then they battled back.
A short leash for these guys.
Yeah, and I think we will see them – we will see AJ manage Jack Flaherty probably a lot like we saw him do with Paddock, where it's just, okay, we got what we needed out of him, and now let's bring in Melton. But then you start to stress the bullpen a little bit more in the postseason.
Which is why I don't think they're going to do it until the postseason. Like, I think they're going to let Jack die on the vine a little bit here.
As per you, it's already locked up. They
right.
don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they do need to worry about getting a bye, but I think they have a nice little cushion here, and it's important if they could get Flaherty to string 2 or 3 good starts together in September, you'd exhale and go, I can give this guy the bump for a couple big games. But right now, I don't know if you can trust him start to start to give you a quality start. You can't. I mean, it yo-yos. He is a yo-yo right now. One good, one bad. One good, one bad. Too good, too bad.
Yeah, I honestly, I think he needs to be labeled more as an opener versus a starter. And if that's the case, if you have an opener in Flaherty, if you have an opener in Paddock, now it is going to stress your bullpen. And maybe it's a combination of both of those guys when you get to the postseason. It's Flaherty for 3 innings, it's Paddock for 3 innings, and then you get to, you know, Melton or whoever else you want to use at that time, depending on what the runs that you've been able to manufacture offensively are.
Ticket text, 248-539-9797. I'd argue that Uncle Chuck is our number 2 right now if the playoffs started today. Vote for Charlie Morton.
Okay.
Jack Flaherty needs to be cut from the team. I don't even care if he's not a viable path. Do it. Even if we get sued, it's a net positive. I think you're not getting sued, but you are on the hook for next year's money if he opted
right.
in.
Yeah.
No, and he's not going to get cut either.
No.
Ticket Texter says they believe Olson was out for just the regular season. Do we expect him back for the playoffs?
Okay, I have no idea. I have absolutely zero idea. There haven't been any indication that I know they said that they're hoping he comes back for the playoffs, but even if he does, I would imagine he's only going to, as they ramp him back up, like they would during the regular season, what's he going to go, 3 innings?
Right.
But then you get 3 innings from him, you get 3 innings from Flaherty, you get 3 innings from Paddock. There's your 9 innings. That could be a scenario that you get during the postseason.
So this is
– it seems a little extreme. But.
This is some of what we got accustomed to last year with the chaos, right? And it's also some of just what postseason baseball is.
Yeah.
Unless you have an ace, you're very rarely letting those guys go through 3 times through the batting order.
Right.
So you're naturally going to go, all right, if my guy can get me 4, we're immediately starting to think matchups. And with Flaherty, that might be what it is. Well, how are you going to get to the 9th, get to the 8th? That's going to be a role for Melton, who you've highlighted.
Yeah.
Olson, if he's healthy, like he's not coming back to be a starter. He's going to be a bullpen piece if he makes it onto the postseason roster.
But it could be a whole host of, as we learned the term, well, we didn't learn the term, but it became very much a part of our parlance last year, in regards to openers, guys that are going to get you three innings. That's what you need to start, because you're hoping that the bats can get you a couple of runs in the first three innings, and then you can start looking at the matchups. Okay, who's coming out of the bullpen at that time to get you the next couple of innings? That's got to be the concern.
In terms of how you'd lay out this rotation, Scoobles one, and then I really think those next three are going to depend on who's pitching the best at the time. Right now, Morton's pitching the best of that next group, so today he'd be my two. Mize would be my three,
yeah,
and Flaherty would be my four. But I put that in the pencil, where I'm going to erase that a week or two from now if that changes.
Sure, and a week or two after that, it changes. All the way up until you get to the end of the season, and then it'll depend a little bit on, because I think we're anticipating that we're going to get one of the top two seeds. You get a little bit more rest. How much of a benefit will that be for these arms? I think that could be a big difference.
Ticket text 248-539-9797. I'll apologize to Jim for falsely claiming he cursed the Tigers when John apologizes to me for falsely claiming his football team isn't ridden with scumbags.
Well, it isn't anymore.
Anymore. Jim, I wasn't one of the doubters, but I will apologize for the hate you got and the people's lack of vision. Trust in Detroit were too gritty to die. And texter says, all this negativity and slander is part of what you signed up for, Cookies. Now move on to the next topic where you'll get even more hate. Chad in a truck. We're going to talk Lions end of the hour. We want to hear from Tiger fans. I don't think I'm going to be flooded with apology texts or phone calls, but help us move the conversation forward. Set the rotation. It's 97.1.
It sure feels like fall, and there's nothing better in the fall when you get home from a hard day work or you're celebrating football on the weekends than an all-day IPA from Founders Brewing Company. They've been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. Their focus has always been on using the highest quality ingredients, and you can count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that dedication in mind, their all-day IPA is crafted for every and any moment. It's easy drinking, refreshing, and flavorful. All-day IPA is the kind of IPA that's never out of place. And I've already mentioned a couple, but let's take a few more examples: tailgating, grilling, hitting the beach, maybe you're on the boat, or just kicking back. It's smooth, full of flavor, and endlessly crushable. It goes where the good times are. Look for All Day IPA at a store near you. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Two homer weekend for Riley Green, including one off a lefty and a couple clutch homers. Spots where they were trailing. Riley Green delivering over the weekend as the Tigers took 2-3 against the Royals. Dan Dickerson on the call. We're out live, Oakland Hills Country Club, and we're seeing all the moves they've made.
Yeah, the new clubhouse looks amazing.
It's beautiful.
We have no idea what it's like inside, but I can only imagine it's going to be spectacular.
But a lot of
progress from last year to this year. Last year it was all the steel on the inside was all we could see, and now it appears like most of the outside is done, obviously, but the landscape. But as we're rolling in, you could see on the inside this doesn't appear to be much done.
No, but it's going to be gorgeous when it's done. I mean, the fire was March of 22.
Yeah.
And they're getting it right back to better than it was.
Yeah.
Once this is done. Mm-hmm. And the course is beautiful. We have the golf outing today, the Celebrity Golf Classic, the Illich Company's Foundation Celebrity Golf Classic today. Mm-hmm. We'll talk Lions football. I was at practice last Thursday, and I had someone give me a little insight onto Za'Darius Smith. We'll get to that. We want to talk about any drama with the roster and some doubts. There's some doubt with this football team in a pretty big way. We'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. John, with the Tigers, we're talking about the rotation. Where's Flaherty in the mix right now? Fourth? I've got the numbers in front of me for August, because it is going to be who's pitching well down the stretch. Scoobal, no surprise, leads the team with 3.5 ERA and a 1.01 whip. He is your ace. He's your number one. He's logged 25 innings. Everybody else is right around 20 to 22 innings, so it's a good comparison. Second best ERA among the starters, it's the new guy. The old guy, Charlie Morton. 3.63. Casey Mize has a 4.7 and Jack Flaherty has a 4.5. But I would argue you know what you're getting more often with Casey Mize. Flaherty is two up and two down. I think he'd be the fourth right now.
Just in terms of confidence. And for Casey Mize, like when – okay, and it is all comparable because they've pitched a similar amount of innings.
Yeah.
But Casey Mize has had more quality innings,
yeah,
if that makes sense. And, I mean, there's a couple of starts ago where he was pitching really good except for three pitches. And they had these solo home runs. Now, thankfully, they were solo home runs. But I do think that you have a little bit more confidence in Casey Mize.
Well, he has fewer base runners allowed. And when he does, he's a battler. Like, in a lot of ways, he doesn't wow you. But I've come away impressed with, hey, if I get him in a tough spot in a postseason, hey, there's two on, he's got to bear down, he's got to get out of the jam. I've seen a lot more of that from Casey Mize this season, whereas when it's rolling for Flaherty, he could be the team's number two. And when it's not, he shouldn't even be in the rotation.
Well, and it's weird because of yesterday, and I was listening to Dan Dickerson call the game, and it was bordering on shock of what happened to Jack Flaherty,
yeah,
after he had started the game off so good. And then all of a sudden, hey, the 10 batters in one inning and six runs, it just didn't feel like that was possible, with the way that he was pitching. But it happened.
Do you agree with how I would lay it out? Skubal, Morton, Mize, Flaherty, subject
right now,
to change.
Yeah. And I do think, I mean, you look at the numbers not just for Morton while he's been a Tiger, but if you look at his numbers – in the previous 6 to 8 weeks prior to that, he's been really consistent.
248-539-9797, some of your ticket texters' responses. Text says, keep that rotation super fresh for the playoffs. I'd like the idea of calling up some guys in September and going six-man rotation.
I mean, yeah,
or even
sure,
using chaos on 6 days.
I think that's all a part of the equation, and that's going to be – it'll be – the genius of A.J. Hinch, and he has been really good at trying to figure out when guys need to come out. Now, I think everybody was shocked about Flaherty yesterday, but you look at what he did with Paddock, and Paddock was one of those guys. Again, 62 pitches, and he was asked after the game, were you surprised, yeah, that he took you out or disappointed? And I loved his response because, yeah, he said everybody wants to be in there pitching, and we're all competitors, but we all have the mindset that you have to trust A.J. Hinch. And I thought that was something that we have talked about. And the players, and especially those that are pitchers, have to understand that and trust A.J., trust Chris Fetter, that they know best of whatever they're seeing from the pitcher, whether it's spin rate, it's just, velocity. They have this unbelievable knack of being able to decide when it's time.
Paddock gave up one run.
Yes.
His ERA is still 6 for the month, right, of August. So I think there's a ticking time bomb there, and it's like,
sure,
hey, if this is a good time to get him out before something bad happens.
But what did we say about AJ when he got all of these new weapons? And I'm going to classify him as weapons. I know that might be overstating things. But, 6 new pitchers at the deadline. I know Paddock was in response to Olsen. It wasn't a deadline deal, but it was done that week. He's going to take some time over the next – at that time, 2-3 weeks, and we're at that point now where he is starting to figure out where it is best to use these arms and which matchups give them the best chance for success. Doesn't guarantee success, but it gives them the best chance for success.
John, do you want to respond to these two ticket texts? This one says, Costa curse is still in effect, and is he trying to jinx them again by bringing this up today?
Well, even if they go on a downswing,
mm-hmm,
which – I don't necessarily – I mean, there's what, still 30 games left?
30 exactly, yeah.
There's time for them to go on a downswing, and pitchers could struggle. Hitters, bats could go quiet for a little while. I don't necessarily think that the division – I mean, look at what the Guardians have done over the last five. They've lost 5 in a row.
Yep.
And they just took 2 of 3 against Kansas City. The lead is 10.5. They have another 3 games in Kansas City coming up at the end of the week. I don't – foresee that, but the competition that they face in September is going to be better than the competition that they faced in August.
There's no doubt about it. They'll play both New York teams. I don't have it right in front of me. They play Boston. But Cleveland, we used to think, oh, they got those six games with Cleveland. How far back is Cleveland right now?
Cleveland is 12.5 back.
Right. So let's say Cleveland comes in here and sweeps the Detroit Tigers. I'm not predicting it. Certainly you're not.
No.
They could sweep the Tigers, and they'd still be 6.5 games back.
Yeah.
So I come in with a renewed sense of confidence. I never thought they'd lose this division, and I hope people who were leery of jinxes and curses are aware of this is a gritty, tough, quality ball club. Whether they're a World Series team or not, whether you love the deadline or not, they're winning this division, and that point was driven home over the weekend.
Yeah, and I didn't jump on the bandwagon of burying the gardens or division was over, but I was still, I mentioned, very confident that they're going to win the division.
Lions football. Is there any drama with cut days coming here? What about Za'Darius Smith? What was I told at practice? And this question of doubt. It's 97-1.